As we promised, Patrick Wright of the Mackinac Center joining us here at 20 before the hour of 11 o'clock to talk about a story out of Indiana. We covered the movement there toward Indiana becoming the 23rd right-to-work state in the country. And now the labor unions in Indiana are fighting back. They have filed a lawsuit where they claim, this is the International Union of Operating Engineers, who deal with heavy equipment and the like, they have sued Indiana's governor, attorney general, and labor commissioner, and they claim that the state's right-to-work law amounts to slavery, involuntary servitude. Really? Patrick Wright, as we said, on the other end of our line to talk about it. How are you?
Doing wonderful, Frank.
So what is their reasoning in this? You're a lawyer. You read through the paperwork. What's their reasoning for right-to-work legislation, which simply gives people the right to decide if they want to join a union? Why does that enslave the union workers?
Well, the union's saying that regardless that they still have duties to these people, whether or not they pay dues to them, and therefore if they have to do something for their benefit, that this amounts to slavery. That would be their argument.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, what they leave unsaid is that they asked to have the monopoly bargaining power in the first place. We don't have to allow unions to make everybody in the collective bargaining agreement accept the union contract. The unions asked for and received this power, and so it's highly ironic that they're claiming slavery here.
Well, exactly. I mean, when you consider it, being forced to join a union, being compelled to do that I still wouldn't call that slavery or involuntary servitude, but it's a lot closer to it than what they're complaining about.
Yes, it is. And, this isn't just this union. If you remember back when we were dealing with the emergency manager stuff, Ira Salters, who was the president of the MEA, also was comparing the emergency manager laws and saying, my God, we're going to go back to slavery. Now, she didn't, at least she said that at an off-the-cuff political speech. It wasn't something that was deliberately thought about and inserted into a lawsuit.
Yeah. Well, and the other part about this, the voting, not the voting rights, but the right to commercialize campaigns for political figures and spend money on those elections is also being brought up here. We had the Citizens United case decided by the U.S. Supreme Court that allows any company to engage in the political process paying for ads. And somehow this union fight is claiming that they don't have that right anymore. Tie that all in for me.
Sure. What happens is the union is saying because they have lost the ability to take agency fees, which is from money from people who don't want to be part of the union but still have to pay for what are called certain chargeable expenses. It's usually about 80-85% of the dues money. And because the union is saying that they've lost the ability to tap into that money, that their speech is lessened because they have less to spend on campaign commercials and things of that nature, and therefore the union's First Amendment rights are being violated. Now, they're forgetting, of course, that the reason the people are not joining the union is that they don't like the union's politics. But so that was the argument they made in their initial complaint, and that was what I had thought was the craziest argument I had ever seen, and then they managed to top themselves with a slavery claim.
So what kind of chance do you have of succeeding with this sort of lawsuit down there in Indiana? Any idea?
I don't think very good.
They seek an overturning of right to work as their remedy?
Yes.
Okay.
There are 22 right-to-work states before Indiana. Indiana became the 23rd, and as a matter of fact, when Michigan was thinking about doing this, I looked into all of the case law regarding right-to-work and wrote a model right-to-work amendment for Michigan and, quite frankly, for other states. As a matter of fact, Minnesota was borrowing it recently. So the idea that these attacks are going to have any kind of success, to me, is extremely unlikely. And I think the reason why they're newsworthy is because many people almost find them laughable.
Well, they are rather extreme. I mean, when you start bringing up slavery over right-to-work laws that have nothing to do with your indentured servitude, It's mind-boggling is what it is. Are you surprised it hadn't been thrown out already?
Well, it just got filed a couple, 3 or 4 days ago. What happened was they filed their suit on February 22nd with the what I thought was envelope-pushing First Amendment claim that we just discussed. And then when the state moved to dismiss, the union filed an amended complaint last week. I don't expect this claim is going to last very long. I expect that it'll be thrown out rather quickly. It's pretty hard to get sanctions for frivolous stuff in federal court. There is a rule, but the courts usually don't apply it. This might be that rare exception where you see it applied.
All right. Any idea when the next hearing on this is?
The state's going to have to respond to the amended complaint, so we're probably looking at least a couple weeks, if not a month away.
All righty. Well, we'll check back in and see what happens to it along the way, but it's fascinating to watch just the same. Thanks, Patrick. Really appreciate the time, as always.
Appreciate it, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
Later. Patrick Wright, the Mackinac Center Senior Legal Analyst here on the Frank Beckman Show on Union Suing Indiana.